front and backyard. It was a little bit of an adjustment to realize that that was our front and backyard that they were playing in, but that was really cool to be able to see. It's actually July 3rd, Friday night, and we're having the celebration for the end of VBS, and so shooting off some fireworks and celebrating the 4th of day early. And we were sitting down at the table, and all of a sudden the girls just got super, well, first Keely jumped like a foot out of her chair. And then she got really excited because she realized there were people in our backyard all of a sudden, and they were setting stuff up, and then it was like, oh, no, there's a slip and slide. No, it's an inflatable slide. This is going to be awesome. And they got super excited. I was like, well, that's not our stuff. You're going to take that away? This is over? And they did. But it was okay. It has been a journey to this point, for sure. I was actually realizing, I was doing some math not too long ago, and realized that it was almost exactly 12 years to the day that we entered into full-time. Actually, it started as part-time, so we call it vocational youth ministry. It was almost 12 years to the day that we received a call from Daryl and Marcy letting us know that you guys had actually decided that you wanted us to come. So hopefully that was a good decision on your part. But we got the call that the vote had gone very positive, and we accepted and realized we would be leaving vocational full-time youth ministry, almost, like I said, 12 years to the day, so a dozen years of working with students, and now, we've had a journey over the last several months, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but now I'm standing up here, and it's a really weird feeling to think that I am not a guest speaker in this church, for one, but I'm no longer a guest speaker when it comes to, like, no, this is going to be every week, which hopefully, you guys don't decide in a couple of months, like, no, we get this every week. I've gotten to speak several times as a youth pastor in the churches that I've been in, but it's like you go and you speak, and everyone tells you what a great job you did because they don't have to listen to you that often. And so the guest speakers always get complimented, and they always get built up, and then all the lead pastors are like, yeah, someday when you're a lead pastor, that goes away. You don't get that anymore. So hopefully we can keep that honeymoon stage going for at least a little while. But it has been, I think, 5, almost 6 months since we were last out here. We hope to be out here a couple of times in the midst of all that. But there's been, some things going on in our country that you've probably heard about. There's this little thing called COVID that is still going on in our country, and it changed a lot of plans. The last trip that I was supposed to come out here for, which would have been in May, I was coming out for an IYC meeting, and my flight just got canceled. So there was no decision, like, do I fly out and spend a week here? It was no, unless you want to drive 18 hours each way and not really get to see anybody once you're there. You stay home. And so we stayed home, and I got to record another message on a video camera, which I'm telling you right now, this feels so much better than standing in front of a camera. Jeremiah, I see you over here. He recorded one of those messages, and so you know the pain of I'm talking to a camera that's looking at me, and I'm actually at the point where I'm wondering, is this camera even still on? Or am I going to have to re-record this whole thing? The last message that I recorded in May for here, it took me 3.5 hours to record that message. And not because I was just trying to make sure everything was perfect. I was about 20 minutes in at one point, and my mother called. And because I was recording from my cell phone, and because I wear a watch that I get notified, and there was nobody sitting in front of me, like, my first response, my mom called, and I'm sitting in a room all by myself, and so I looked at it, and I sat there, and I'm like, should I answer that? And then I realized, I'm on camera right now. Like, I can't be looking at my watch, wondering if I'm going to answer the phone. I'm delivering a message right now. And, then I sat there, and I went, but that, my ringtone probably just got picked up on the recording anyway, and if not the ringtone, then the buzzer called, and so it was all scrapped at that point, so I started all over. And then I got home, and I had reset some things on camera, and I got home, and I realized that for the second recording of it, I had cut off my eyes and us. And I figured that was probably kind of important for you guys to at least be able to see my eyes. It's not about me. It's not about you seeing me. But there is, it's a little distracting when you don't see the top half of somebody's face that's talking to you. So I went back that night, and after we did CR worship, I went back upstairs into the youth room where I was recording everything, and got everything all set up again. And the first time, I was using two cameras, and the first time, this camera just shut off halfway through, and that was the camera I got on my computer, so I could actually see it, and it shut off. And then the microphone kept shutting off, and so I finally scrapped that and went through the cell phone instead. It was a process to record that. So again, it was not that I wanted to make sure that everything was perfect, although I know I talked to a lot of speakers during this time, and that is one of the biggest challenges, is that when we're standing up in front of you, as soon as it's said, it's out, and we can't take it back, and we can't start over. But when you're in front of a camera, you can just hit stop, and you can hit delete, and you can start the whole thing all over. At Highlands, in Casper, where I came from, they actually, the pastor and the worship team, they got to a point where they were recording in a studio, and then that was taking so long to record. Like, worship was taking 2 to 3 hours to record every week. And kind of got to a point where a few people were like, I think we have crossed over from the doing it well to the becoming perfectionists. And that's not all this is about. And so that is a huge temptation when you're recording all these things. So we've got the journey through all of that. We've also got the journey through packing up a house, which, I was telling Bill, I think, this morning that, we're still looking for one of our boxes that we know we didn't leave at home because the house was completely empty. But we cannot find a box that just happens to have a wife's computer in it. So, it's not an important box. It's no big deal. Still looking for that, having to pack everything up there. We were initially at the point where, we were supposed to close on our home on June 15th, and then that got pushed back to where now we're supposed to be closing this coming Friday, which is great. We were able to live in our house for the entire time that we were there, but it also meant that we were packing everything up the last day that we were there. Just kind of getting to that point where you're just checking stuff in the back of the truck because you don't have boxes anymore, and you don't care anymore. Like, let's just go. So we got to journey through that. We have got to journey through COVID, just like everyone else is still journeying through COVID, where we were in a state that did not shut down completely. We did not do a stay-at-home order or anything like that. We could still leave the house. We were supposed to be in groups of 10 or more. Yes, we were supposed to socially distance. Churches closed the doors to the building, or at least most churches closed the doors to the building. So we did those things, but we were able to at least go out just because we wanted to go out. And so that was a huge blessing. But in the midst of that, we were at an end time for our families, where our kids were no longer going to be going to the school that they loved so much, where we were no longer going to be at a church body, a local church body that we loved so much. Sarah was on staff in the kids department. A lot of people might not know that, but she was on staff in the children's department. She was the upfront personality on Sunday morning who would teach the students and teach the kids. And she ended up getting to say goodbye through a video that I don't think is actually shown yet because they're not back to meeting together as kids yet. The church is back on Sunday morning, but the services look a lot different and they're shorter and there's more kids and they're breaking out at this point. And then I was able to get to say goodbye to several of the students at the very end, our very last Sunday there. We were able to have a celebration of, kind of the beginning of the summer, and then the staff that's staying there, the people who are taking the position that I've been filling, they had kind of gone behind my back in a good way, but they'd gone behind my back and they'd reached out to some former leaders and the former students and had several of them show up at this party and several of the students, but it wasn't everybody by any means. And it wasn't, Wednesday nights where you get to really get to interact with people. And for those several months, we didn't meet as a youth group. In fact, we met on Zoom calls for Wednesday nights for, I think it ended up being two and a half months. We we had planned when we shut the doors to the building that this was going to be for like 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll do some YouTube live videos, and then we realized this thing was going to go on, so we scrambled and we put together a Zoom call, and we would have about 10 to 15 students show up on these and get to interact with them. But if you've been on a Zoom call, you know it is not the same as being in person. And so there's been this journey with a lot of heartache that has gone in the midst of that, while at the same time, this journey of excitement of knowing where we're coming, or at least thinking we know where we're coming. You don't really know all about everything until you get there. And even then, by the time you leave, if you leave, you still don't know everything about the place that you're at. And that's okay. That's good. That's awesome. A lot of people have said, well, you're moving to a farming community, and you grew up in a place like that. That's going to be just like home. I didn't walk out the door and look at a cornfield where I grew up. I walked out of the door and looked at another house across the street. So it's not the same. It's awesome, but it's not the same as where I grew up. So there's going to be some adjustments in the midst of all that. And we've been thinking through those, and we've been praying about all of those. We've been praying for all of you throughout this time. You know, we've gotten to do the Friday videos that if you watch those, I apologize that I started every single one with Good Morning. It wasn't funny to me. Even as I said it, I did it again, and now I've got to make some sort of joke out of this thing, because for me, it was morning, and for you all, it was noon, and it got me every single Friday that I got on there, and I said good morning for that. But I say all that, and I journey through all of that to say that it's been crazy times, it's been unprecedented, definitely not what I expected to have as a transition time. We are very excited about being here. We have been looking forward to this for the past six-ish months, however long that is. But at the same time, I want to ask some grace from all of you that, you know, there's still some pain, and there's going to be some pain for a while, because we left some incredible friends, and we left family, and our kids are going to take some adjusting time. And when I announced to the church and pastor that we were leaving, I asked a favor out of people there, and I asked a similar favor out of you. I asked them, please, when you talk to my kids, don't just ask them how they feel about moving, because we didn't want that to just be like this constant thing in their minds all the time. So my request to you would be, when you talk to my kids, show them you love them, show them you care about them, but don't always ask them, so how are you feeling about moving? How are you adjusting? Because they will shut down, and you will get a straight face, not because they don't like you, and not because they're mad or anything like that, but because I'm not sure they know how they feel about moving right now. They were able to meet even more kids on Friday night, and so I think that's why they're actually not still sitting over by Sarah over here. They have gotten more comfortable. The new son, and new Lydia, and Lou, and a few of the kids before we got here, but now we're getting to know some more, so that's really cool. So if you would do that for us and continue to pray for them, the easiest way for Sarah and I to adjust to living in a new place is to see our children adjust to living in a new place. So once we see that they're doing okay, we'll be doing a lot better too. Alright, so that was a really long intro to some things that have been going on. I do want to spend some time though to say thank you to certain ones of you sitting here, or maybe you're sitting at home still right now, but there has been a much larger leadership role than what was expected to be by some people who, you know, accepted positions onto councils over the past several months. When those of you who are on council right now, when you agreed to be on council, I don't think you planned on leading the church through a pandemic. Did anybody think that that was going to be what you were signing up for by any chance? Nobody? Yeah, you guys should have signed up. Well, I would like, if you were on the council throughout all this, would you just stand for a moment? Can we thank the people who have kind of led throughout this time? Don't be shy. Go ahead. There have been some very difficult decisions that had to have been made during all of this. And there's a thing about being in leadership that no decision that you make is liked by everybody. That you will hear from somebody that this was the wrong decision. This isn't what you should have done. And sometimes those people are right. Sometimes those people are wrong. And you have to sit there and then you have to evaluate, okay, is this, where's the truth in what they're saying? Where are the lies in what they're saying? Where do we need to come together on this? And there is so much involved in all that. And you all have to navigate something that I know you never expected to navigate. There has also been an incredible staff on hand throughout all this. And I know Carrie's already left, but those of you who are left in here, Kay, Megan, Deanna, would you say, can we just thank them for their leadership? There was a search committee that was put together that went through a stack of names as far as people who were interested in coming here to be in the position that I'm currently in. And if you were on that search committee, you'd be seen. Nobody likes that. You go blame them. Because they're the ones who let me come out here in the first place. I mean, you guys introduced us in the first place. So, no, that is not a process that I have ever been a part of as far as being on that end of it. Obviously, I've gone to different churches, not in this position, but in other positions. I've gone to different ones, and, you know, I know that is a huge responsibility that you all feel, or that you feel. So thank you for doing that. And then I know we don't have most of the speakers here who have spoke over the last, sometimes my English escapes me. I know we don't have all of them here, but I want to thank the many speakers who have filled this role in front of the camera, or, you know, over the past several weeks, actually been able to come in here and stand up in front of people, and just bringing the word throughout that time. There have been a lot of people praying for this church who have been dedicated to this church, even some who don't live here and some who will probably never live here. And then there are those of you who do, and this is your local church body, and you are able to speak into this and invest into this local body. Because I know, I've already sensed that you feel that strongly about what God has to do. You know, over the past several months during this time, we have dealt with a global pandemic. And if we're being honest, we could have a conversation about that for the rest of this morning, the rest of this day, and we would probably hear 10 to 15 to 20 different opinions on how this has been handled and whether or not we agree with this element of it or this element of it. We could have a discussion as to how we feel about how this church body dealt with the pandemic, is dealing with the pandemic. We can have discussions about how the state of Indiana or the nation or the world has dealt with it. There are those who feel like this is all overrated and overblown, and there are those who feel like we are not responding strongly enough, and we could sit and we could discuss all of that. And then, right on the heels of that, and in the midst of all of that, we have social justice issues rising up all over our country. And we could sit here and we could have discussions about that all day long. And we could hear 15 to 20 different opinions on, is racism really an issue? Is police brutality really an issue? Or is it overblown? Is it being taken out of context? We could sit here and there would be so many different feelings and thoughts in the midst of all of that. And the reason for that is because we are all different people. And while we are all created in the image of one creator, we are still individuals. And we have different thoughts. And in the midst of those discussions, what often comes up, so over the past 5 months, as I've kind of been in this no man's land of I'm exiting youth ministry and I'm handing things off to a new team, and I'm stepping into a new role, but I'm not here yet. And so, you know, there were a lot of these discussions that I was having with staff and council as far as, you know, here's my thoughts because you asked for them, but I'm not on the ground in Monroe City. And so those on the ground in Monroe City are going to have an idea of what's going on here. And then I'm out there where it's like, well, you know, this is my thought on this, but ultimately you all need to make this decision because it's going to affect the future of this youth ministry, and I'm not going to be a part of that future as far as being here on the ground. So I've been in this no man's land, and what I've done and what I've stopped to do is I've stopped to do a lot of listening to people. And especially after the death of George Floyd, I've listened more intently than I think I've ever listened to these types of voices in my entire life. You know, because you have those discussions going on, you have the COVID discussions going on, and everyone, you get on Facebook, you get on social media, you turn on the news, you have discussions. Everywhere you go, this feels like what's being talked about. And one of the things that I've heard brought up over and over and over again as I've listened is that my rights, my freedoms are being trampled on right now. And we could sit and we could discuss, well, is that we're being protected? Or is that, no, your rights and your freedoms really are being trampled on? And in this room, we would have different beliefs and different feelings about all that. As you go out of this room, we would have different beliefs and different feelings. I guarantee you, if you go into the cities, it's going to be a different feeling than you have when you're in a smaller community. Are my rights and are my freedoms being infringed upon? We just celebrated July 4th yesterday. As a church, we came together on July 3rd and we shot off fireworks and we celebrated the Independence Day, the day that we declared our independence from Britain. You know, how many of you realize, because I'm not sure that I remember learning this, that we actually voted to be independent not on July 4th, but on July 2nd? Anybody else? Did you realize that? I got one hand out of that. Good, so I wasn't the only one. It was actually signed on July 4th. That's why we celebrate on July 4th, of 1776. So all these years, we've celebrated this independence, but then years later, they actually signed this thing called the United States Constitution that developed our government. And then after a little while after that, they signed this thing called the Bill of Rights, where that's the part where we spend so much time talking about. What are my rights as a citizen of the United States? Well, I know somebody who fought for those rights. Well, I know somebody who fought for those rights. And both of these people who know somebody who fought for those rights feel differently about what it means to have those rights. But we talk about these are our rights, these are our freedoms that we have, and they're being walked all over. You know, it took a lot of years after that, until 1863, before slaves actually had their own freedom. Before Abraham Lincoln signed that piece of paper called the Emancipation Proclamation. And he said that all of the slaves are free. But then it took two more years before that entered into an amendment to where slavery was now abolished. And now slaves were free. And then it took, and I'm blanking on the year because I'm not a history major by any chance. This is actually, I was sitting in my office earlier and Carrie and Megan walked by and they said, "Hey, what are you doing there in the dark?" And like, I'm brushing up on my United States history because I am horrible at history. Like, I can do all the rest of this with no notes. But when I get to the history section, I need some notes. But it was years after that, in the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution, that women were actually given the right to vote. And so we've seen over this course of time, these social justice issues rise and these different groups of people saying, I deserve to be free too. I deserve to have rights too. And we, as a nation, said many times, you are correct. It took us a lot of time to get to some of those, to get to some of those realizations, to realize that, yes, you do deserve to have that right. And now we're in the year 2020, and we're worried about our rights being taken away from us. I'm not here to have a debate over whether or not our rights are being walked all over. I'm not here this morning to have a debate over which social justice issue we should, fully get behind the most. I'm not here to have those types of conversations this morning. What I'm here to say this morning is that if we put our reliance on freedom in a government or a policy, we will always be a slave of some type. Because a government and a policy can be abolished, a government and a policy can be destroyed, it can be taken away. All of the freedoms that we enjoy and we currently have, we can fight for them. And don't get me wrong, I love the freedoms we have. I love the fact that we are free to meet in this building this morning. That is not the case all around the world. I love having that freedom, but I also recognize that there may be a day in the future of the United States of America, and it may even be in my lifetime, it may be in my kids' lifetime, where this type of a gathering might not be legal to have, or at least not be this open about it. Or we might not be able to do some of the things that we do or do them the way that we do them. That we might be told, you have to change that if you want to continue to meet together. For a couple of months, we were told that we couldn't meet together in some states. In other states, they encouraged you not to meet together because of group size. And the truth is, that could become an actual reality at some point, that we are told you are not allowed, period, to meet together. I was in China a couple of years ago, and when I was over there, the Chinese Church of God, the local Church of God in China, put on a convention for Southeast Asia or Northeast Asia. I can't remember the actual name of the convention, because the truth was, while we were there, it was a Church of God convention, but while we were there, we had to call it by a different name when we were around other people, because if we walked around saying, yeah, I'm here with the Church of God convention, then the thing would have been shut down, and every Chinese citizen who was there would have been arrested, and those of us who were not Chinese citizens, I may not be back yet. My family wouldn't have been very happy about that. My wife panicked when I sent her the video that Matt talked to you a couple of weeks ago about, when I sent the fake tsunami video. She panicked when she got that one. I can't imagine how much she would have panicked. I said, so I'm actually sitting in jail. First off, I wouldn't have actually called her, because I wouldn't have gotten the right to call her from prison. But they don't have the freedom that we have here. But what I do see when I look at that church in China is I see a group of people who are passionate about following Christ. I see a group of people who are bold in their faith, even if they can't do it this way. We got to visit a church in Hong Kong, which was in an upstairs little area that was not like this super advertised, hey, we're a church of God type of a gathering. But I remember sitting there, it was youth group that we went to, because we were a bunch of youth pastors, so that made a lot of sense. But we went into this, and we're sitting there, the worship is going on, the musical worship is going on, and I remember looking around going, wow, there is not a single teenager in here who is not actively, physically engaged in worship right now. Now, I fully believe that you do not have to sit there and sing out loud and raise your hands and, to be engaged in worship. But that's what they were all doing. And what I took from that is that when it's illegal for you to do what you're doing, but you are so passionately following Christ that you have to do it anyway because it is just bursting out from inside of you, the way you worship changes. And the passion with which you worship changes. And so I've actually wondered since then, and a little bit before then, I've wondered, maybe the Church of God in America will get stronger as we lose some of our rights. Because no longer will there be comfortable Christianity. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks, but no longer will there be this sense of, well, I can call myself a Christian because it's okay and it's socially acceptable. When it becomes socially unacceptable to call yourself a Christian, then you really have to mean it when you say it. And so there's a chance that when we lose our rights, we may get stronger. But as I've listened to this discussion about rights, and I've looked at some of the history of the United States and how some of the rights became available, I've had that thought of we may lose some of those, and some of those we may lose fairly quickly. You know, we can stand up and we can vote and we can make our voices heard, but that's not a guarantee that those rights will stay in place. But there are rights we have not because we're American. There are rights we have because we are created in the image of God. And those are the rights that I want this body to remember this morning and to remember as we walk out of these walls today. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes these words to the church in Ephesus. He says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler, any authority, any power, any leader, or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. If you're wanting to open up your Bible, I see some of you trying to open them up and find out where I'm at. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1. I started in verse 19. I'm now chapter 2. We're going to keep reading a little bit more. But I want to touch on a few of those verses because as we worry, as we stress over whether or not we're going to lose rights as Americans, I want to remind you that governments do eventually fall and rights do eventually change. Government rights do eventually change. But the rights given to us as believers in Christ, the rights given to us as those made in his image, don't ever go away because they are given by somebody who has authority over all of the governments and all of the people. And that's not to say that we sit here and say, well, I don't have to listen to the United States government then. Not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to start some sort of, I don't even know what I would call that at this point. I'm not trying to get you all to leave here and say, well, government, I'm not listening to you anymore because I follow Jesus. That is not the message that is being shared today. Because there is this little passage, I believe in Romans, where it says that we do submit to the authorities that are put in place over us. But it's kind of like how I've taught students for years, that, you know, honoring your father and mother, which we're told to do, is not always the same as obeying every word that they tell you. And that, you know, students might not hear that one. It's not the same, and here's what I mean by that. We sometimes have parents who tell us to do things that are not Christ-honoring. And in that sense, honoring your parents or submitting to authority means that we don't do what it is that they're telling us to do. This is not a revolution. That's not what I'm trying to push us to do or anything. I want us to remember where our authority truly lies. My brother last week, I was in Kansas at my home church, where my oldest brother is now the lead pastor. And he was reminding the congregation there that we need to stop and think about who is it that we're following? Who is it that we're getting our information from? Who is our source? Is it CNN? Is it Fox News? Is it NPR? Is it, you know, go around that line? Is it Hannity? Who is it that you're getting your information? Who is your ultimate source? And of course, he was reminding us our ultimate source is the same one who has authority over all rulers on the earth. In chapter 2, Paul continues, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. We are united with the One who is over all authorities and over all powers and all of the earth. We are united with that person. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. There's a, in the midst of the concern over rights being lost, there is concern over history being rewritten or retaught. And while I want accurate history, whatever it may be, to be taught, and I want the rights of human beings to be given to everybody, what I realize is that regardless of what they teach in school, regardless of what might be taught in homes, regardless of what we're taught when we turn on the news, our role does not change. Our teaching does not change. As followers of Jesus Christ, as those who have said, this is the One that I'm going to give my life to, the most important thing that I can teach my kids is not when the Declaration of Independence. I think it's important for them to know the history of the world. I think it's important for them to know the history of our nation, the good and the bad history of our nation. I think that's very important. But more important than that is that they know the history of a God who loves them so much, of a Creator who loves them so much, that He sent down His Son to die for them, to die for the mistakes that they had made, so that they don't have to live in the sorrow and the anguish of those mistakes, so that they don't have to live with that for the rest of their life. That is the most important piece of history that I can teach my kids. And it's the most important thing that I can teach them, that that's not just history that happened back then, but that's something that He continues to do each and every single day. I've ran by several people what I really, really wanted to say today. And every single one of them said, maybe don't say that on your first Sunday. So I've been trying to, including my wife, so I've been trying to reword it in a way that it would be okay to say even on my first Sunday. So I'm going to give it a shot. And hopefully you don't have to go find the search committee later and say, what did you do to us? Remember, Larcy had that thing. I believe strongly that it is important to teach our kids about the United States history. I believe it's important to teach them what it means to be loyal to their country, to teach them what it means to respect their country and to respect those who have gone before them. We may have some different beliefs as to what it means to respect and what it means to be loyal, but I believe those are important things to teach them. But I also believe that if we set our allegiance, our ultimate allegiance to a country, we will always be under the rule of somebody else. In a sense, we will always be slaves to somebody else. However, there is One who came and who told us, I want to give you ultimate freedom. I want to give you freedom that even when you are in a country like China, where it is illegal for you to openly worship Me, I want to give you a freedom that says, you are created in My image, and therefore I will worship. give you a freedom from the sorrow in your life. I want to give you a freedom from depression. I want to give you a freedom from fear. I want to give you freedom from anger. I want to give you freedom from pornography. I want to give you freedom from alcoholism. I want to give you freedom from all of these different things. And I've already done what it takes. All I need you to do is to accept it. Yeah, I do pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I step through that, so I think I'm going to stick the line. That's totally intentional. I do actually know the pledge of allegiance. But when you see it, there is a time to reveal it. One nation under God. I pledge allegiance to that country. I hope the day doesn't come in my lifetime where I have to say I can't pledge allegiance to that country because that country has turned so far from God that I can't do that. But that's where we come in. That's where we come in. That we go out and we have those bold conversations. And we have those courageous conversations. Not to say, hey, your response to COVID was wrong. But to say, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? Can I tell you about this guy who can give you freedom even if you do have to stay at home? Can I talk about this guy who gives you freedom even when there are racial injustices being put against you? Like, I won't fight against those things, but there is freedom that can come even in the midst of all that. Because the truth is, there is no policy or law that is going to erase racism. That's in the heart. There are policies that can be put in place to make sure that we don't actively engage, and that it's not okay to actively engage in those things, but it can't take it out of somebody's heart. Jesus can. Christ can. I fully believe that. There was a point during all this where people were saying, you know, there's too many people on Facebook saying we just need Jesus. Like, no, we need real solutions. And I found that second one. No, that is the real solution. And we should not be ashamed to say that that is the real solution to all of this, is we just need Jesus. And if you are sitting in here this morning and you haven't chosen to follow him, like you haven't decided that that is the person, that is the God that you want to follow, I would invite you this morning to at least have a conversation before you leave here with somebody, with myself or somebody else, as to how they have experienced the freedom from him or the freedom through him from all the things that go on in our world. I encourage you to have that conversation this morning. And if you have chosen, I would encourage you to talk about that freedom anywhere and everywhere you go. We're going to have those other conversations too. Those are important conversations to have. But my hope is that in our homes, that the conversations would not be so heavily about the United States law that we forget to talk about with our kids Jesus and the freedom that he gives us that no law can take away. The home of a Christian family should have that conversation more than any other conversation. Because those other conversations are fed by this one. Those other conversations are fed by this one. I think we have the worship team coming up for one more song. There was actually, I was almost going to request that they changed it. There's a beautiful song written where, you know, there were words from that John wrote. It said that we are free. We are free indeed. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. There's a song written called Who You Say I Am that talks about that. I was like, I want to switch to that one. But then I looked at this one and I really started reading through the words of this one. You know what? This one talks a lot about freedom too. It talks about the freedom that we have in him. Before I wrap up, before I hand this back off to you guys, I've talked a lot about, you know, the United States and the laws there. I want to just briefly talk about us here. Because it can be real easy. In fact, I was having this conversation with Dan Sword on Friday night. Now I'm not being really here. It can be real easy when a new pastor comes in to say that pastor, he's the one making the decisions. He's the one making the calls now. She's the one who's going to lead us everywhere we need to go. I recognize people at the beginning who have led through this time, because I want you to see who those people are, because I need those people, and I need the rest of you to continue to lead. Dan told me the other night, he said, you know, just because you're here doesn't mean you have to do everything by yourself. I said, Dan, I need you to remind people of that whenever they think that maybe I do need to do everything by myself, or whenever I start to think I need to just do everything by myself. Over the past several years in youth ministry, I've been able to work with more of a team on staff, so I've gotten more used to handing things off to other people. Not so that my job can be easier, but so that the work can be done better. I'm not here to say this is how things are done. I'm here to work with everyone in this room, everyone on the other side of the camera. I'm here to work with the local body to see how can we do this best. How can we take this message out best? A couple of disclaimers that I'll throw out. I think throw these out at the beginning. I mentioned the staff. It's often said that the lead pastor is the boss. I'm not your boss. I don't want to be your boss. I don't ever want to be called the boss. It's going to happen because people like to joke, and now that I brought it up, somebody's going to say it before this day is over, I'm sure. But in all of my time in youth ministry, yes, there have been people I've had to answer to, but I've always considered one person to be my boss. And it's the same boss that I have, the same boss that we are all working with, and we are all working with. And he says that we are partners with him. He's the one who has authority over all authorities and over all powers. And he's the one that I'm praying that we will be following for the entire time I'm here, and the entire time after I'm here. Whether that means I'm here until I die, or that means I'm here until God says we have somewhere else that we need to go. That's the one that we're going to follow. Over the next several weeks, we're going to launch into a new series, and you won't hear me talk a lot about series, because many times I get halfway through a series and I decide that we need to talk about something else. And so I don't talk a lot about series. But we are going to launch into a series for as long as it goes. And if God gets us halfway through and says, I think they get the point, then we'll move on and we'll do something else. But we're just going to talk about what it means to be the church body. What it means to be a church member. And that's not because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, wow, I'm not sure that these people out in Southern Indiana actually know what it means to be a church member. No, it's actually because I want to get here and have this conversation before you can look at me and say, oh, he doesn't think we know what it means. Like, before you can say, oh, we're not doing a good enough job. No, I want us to have this conversation so that we're all on the same page from the very start. But I'm going to need your feedback. And I'm going to need you to let me know, hey, you nailed that one. I think you said exactly what God wanted you to say. Or, hey, I'm not sure that I agree on this one. Like, I want to have those conversations. What I would ask that you would never tell me at the end of the message is, good job, Pastor. And here's why. Because that can so quickly become a thing of, if I don't get enough attaboys at the end, then I must not have said the right thing. When in reality, it might just be that everyone's leaving me going, ouch, that hurts. And so I'm going to tell them, good job. And I'm not here to make everybody happy. So that's just not going to work out very well. Now, what I would love to hear you say is, Pastor, here's what I got out of that. Here's how God's working in my life. Not, hey, Pastor, here's what I think God said to that person down the road from me, or what I hope they heard. You know, here's what I got out of that. Here's how God spoke through you to me. Because this isn't me. At least I hope not. I've been asked several times, do you get nervous when you speak? Not really. But there is one little element of nervousness that I do have when I get up here, and that's that I do not honestly fully represent Christ when I stand up. And so that's my prayer every week as I get up here. I'm not worried about making fools of myself. I'm not worried about mispronouncing English words or forgetting some of the lines out of the Declaration or out of the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm not worried about those things. No, my prayer is always that this would be the Word of God coming to you each and every week. So before I keep rambling, because I have to remind myself that we're going to do this every week. I don't have to get everything in 1 week anymore, because I'm not a guest speaker anymore. It is awesome to be here with you, and I cannot wait to continue on this journey with you. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for each and every individual in here. Thank you for the individuals at home. Even my family who's watching this in Kansas City, and my nephew who's probably taking notes about all the things that I said have been wrong in this whole thing, but he'll let me know later, and I thank you for that. No, God, I thank you for the journey that you put us on, and I thank you for the freedoms that you give us, the freedoms that cannot be taken away. God, I pray that we would not fight in the way that the world fights, that we would not attack in the way that sometimes we get attacked, or in the way that we've been taught to attack, but that we would realize the word that you told us, that this is not a battle against flesh and blood, that this is a battle against the powers of darkness. That God, the freedoms that we have are not government given, but that the freedoms that we need to rely upon are the freedoms that every individual made in your image, which is each and every single individual on this earth, has. And that those are the